April 6, 2020, in Hillsborough, North Carolina, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Texts 49 through 52.
Okay, I'll just read the Sanskrit text 50. Vikshitan vai tatabhutan krishna yogeshvareshvara ikshamamrita varshinya swanatan samajivayat. So before you go to the sentence, so we have some interesting words here. Yogeshvareshvara. Anybody have any idea what that means? We often have Yogeshwara, but here we have Yogeshvareshvara. Yes, the controller of the controllers. And what about Ikshayamrita? So what's Iksha? Well, that's Iksha. Ikshana or Ikshaya. Eyes, yeah. And Amrita?
Nectar.
Right. So, Vishvaamba, the poison water.
The poison water.
Tat.
That.
Upashrishya.
Simply touching.
You know, Srishya means touch. Daiva, by the mystic potency of the personality of Godhead. Upahata, lost. Chaitasaha, their consciousness. Nipetuhu, they fell down. Vyasavaha, lifeless. Sarve, all of them. Salila ante, at the edge of the water. Kuru Udvaha, O hero of the Kuru dynasty. Vikshya, seeing. Tan, them. Vai, indeed. Tata Bhutan, in such a condition. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Yoga Ishwara Ishwaraha, the master of all masters of yoga. Ikshaya, by his glance. Amrita Varshinya, which is a shower of nectar. Swanatan, those who accepted only him as their master. Samajivayat, brought back to life. Translation. As soon as they touched the poison water, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness. So they didn't even drink it, they just touched it. We have this sprishya. They just touched it. As soon as they touched the poison water, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness. Must have been pretty heavy-duty poison. Isn't there that drug fentanyl that's like that? That if you just touch it, you can die? Yeah. They lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord and fell lifeless at the water's edge. O hero of the Kurus, seeing them in such a condition, Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic potency, felt compassion for these devotees who had no lord other than him. Thus he immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glance upon them. So, the Lord's eyes are like a shower of nectar that bring you back to life. I mean, we think of that with people that we see, maybe that we really love, we haven't seen them for a long time. Just the glance, right, just gives us life. Text 51. Regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up out of the water and began to look at one another in great astonishment. O king, the cowherd boys then considered that although they had drunk poison, here it says they drunk poison.
In the verse before, the 50 and 51, it says they drank it.
They drank it.
Yeah.
So they drank it, but yet they just touched it.
Yeah. Verse 40, whatever the word.
Yeah, it's interesting. Tormented by thirst and the summer glaring sun. Yes, papuhu, they drank. But I guess it didn't have to get like into their system. Well, very, very instantaneous. The cowherd boys then considered that although they had drunk poison and in fact had died, simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, They had regained their lives and stood up by their own strength. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass. So we're going to travel a little bit here with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has a song where he gets in the mood of one of Krishna's cows. And this is very much connected to this Swa Natam. If you go up to text 49. So in text... Yeah, if you go up to text 49... Yeah, okay, and go look at the... Okay, I know it's... All right.
The word, or you want the word verses?
Well, let's look first at the verses.
That's it there.
Okay, actually it's 50. Sorry. Swanatam, at the last line of text 50. They had him as their master. Nat means master or lord. And if we look, right, go to the translation of this verse. So if you scroll... So he felt compassion for these devotees who had no lord other than him. He was their only master. He was their only protector. So Bhaktivinoda has a series of songs called Sharanagati about surrender. And in his songs about surrender, there are six aspects of surrender. And one of them is that the Lord is our protector. So, of course, why are we interested in surrender? Because Srila Prabhupada often says that we could become Krishna conscious in a moment as soon as we surrender. Right? It seems to take us bahunam janmanam ante ganamam ampapatyante. It seems to take us many, many lifetimes. I was just reading this morning Nectar Devotion. Rupa Goswami saying that taking up Krishna consciousness in this life generally means we've taken it up in another life. And in September, I was at a meeting called by the BBT about editing Prabhupada's books. And the icebreaker that our facilitators did was they went around the room and asked all of us how we first took up Krishna consciousness. And after we each told our stories, they said, in each of these stories, you can see something from a previous life. So I think for the vast majority of us, we feel that we were, as Krishna says, automatically attracted to the yogic principles. But this means that we've been taking, at least for me, a very long time to surrender. You know, we can say, oh yeah, I had some contact in a previous life, and we may be proud of that, but on the other hand, like, what am I still doing here? Not surrendering to Krishna after so many lifetimes. But Prabhupada says immediately, if we surrender. So one of these six parts of surrender, and this verse of the six parts of surrender is accepted by all of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, not only the Gaudiyas. And one of them is accepting the Lord as one's protector, and that is particularly exemplified in these verses that we read today. And we're going to look, therefore, at Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song from his Sharanagati, where he details each of these six parts of surrender. So he has a series of songs for each of them, one for accepting everything that's favorable, one for rejecting everything that's unfavorable, and so forth. And this is in the section of seeing the Lord as one's protector. So we're just going to read the translation. So, and as we read this, it'd be very nice if we try to also enter into the mood that Bhaktivinoda is entering into. So Bhaktivinoda is entering into the mood of one of Krishna's cows. And he speaks here about a number of pastimes, but he also includes this one of being going to the Yamuna. So if we can just imagine ourselves, as Bhaktivinoda is doing, that we're one of Krishna's cows, and Krishna's calling us to the Yamuna. It's time to have something to drink. We're thirsty. Right? And we drink the Yamuna, and we die. And then Krishna brings us back to life. Surrendering to you lifted from me the burden of false pride. No longer will I try to secure my own well-being. O Lord, I am confident of your protection, For like one of your cows or calves, I am your treasured property. O Madhava, I see you leading your herds to pasture on the banks of the Yamuna. You call to them by gently playing your flute. By slaying giant demons such as Agga and Baka, you will always provide full protection, O Gokulakana. Fearless and confident of your protection, I will drink the water of the Yamuna. The Kaliya's serpent's venom poisoned the Yamuna's waters, yet that poison will not act. You will purify the Yamuna and by such heroic deeds enhance our faith. You who are called Govinda and Gopal will surely protect me by swallowing the forest fire. When Indra, king of the gods, sends torrents of rain, you will counteract his malice and protect us by lifting the mighty Govardhan hill. When the four-headed Brahma steals your cowherd boyfriends and calves, then too you will surely protect me, O Gokula Hari. Bhaktivinod is now the property of Gokula, your holy abode, O Keshava. Kindly protect him with care. So it's very interesting. We know Bhaktivinod Thakur is one of the Manjari gopis, but here he's writing this poem in the mood of a cow. You know, that you're going to bring me your cow, your property, to the Yamuna by playing your flute, and I'm going to drink the poison water, I'm going to die, and then you're going to restore the purity of the Yamuna, and you're going to bring me back to life. So generally, we seek protection in some place other than Krishna. Right? Generally, we look for our protection. We look for our protection in our body. Right? Like every morning, I get some exercise, I'm going to keep my body healthy, eat healthy food, and yes, sit straight, have good posture. I'm going to take care of my body, and that way I'm going to be safe. Or I look for protection in my mind. I think if I know a lot of things, if I study lots and lots and lots of things and have lots and lots and lots of knowledge about lots and lots of things, then I'll know what to do and what not to do. Right, if I'm smart, then I'll be able to protect myself. Or I take shelter in my friends, in my society. Oh, I have all my devotee friends here in my ISKCON society, and they'll keep me safe, they'll take care of me, they'll give me shelter. Or my family. Right? One of the heavy things after each of my parents died, they died within a year of each other, was feeling, oh no, now I have, if something terrible happens, I have no place to go. Right? Because you always think, well, mommy and daddy will take care of me. Even if nobody else loves me, my mommy will always love me. So we think our family like that, you know, our spouse, they'll always be there for me, my children, and now my grandchildren, right? And if I live long enough, I'll think that way about my great-grandchildren. Oh, they'll be there for me. Right? Or we think our government will protect us. Right now, everybody in the world is hoping their government will protect them. You know, we're skeptical, but we're still hoping. We're like, well, I don't really trust the government, but I hope they'll be there for me. They'll provide, you know, enough ventilators and face masks. And if I just follow the government rules, right, and everybody's telling each other, follow the government rules, follow the government rules. Or I may think some ritual will protect me. You know, if I just find the right priest in South India who can say the right mantras at the right time, then I'll be safe, right? Or some demigod will protect me, like in the Indra Yajna, and we're thinking like that. Or some powerful person, right? Or rituals can be not just religious rituals, but it can be, you know, if I just wash my hands in this way, then I'll be protected. You know, I wipe off all the doorknobs. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. But if we're thinking that's what's going to protect us, or objects, you know, I think a building is going to protect me. Or my phone, if I have my phone has a good connection and the battery's charged, then it will protect me. It will tell me where I am and where to go and what to do and what's going on in the world. Right? So we take shelter of all these things, thinking that they're going to be our protectors. Yes? Am I correct? I mean, I'm certainly guilty of that. I think my body's going to protect me. I think my mind, my friends, my society, my family, my government, some rituals that I do, some objects that I have, right? And I'm thinking, as long, I've got all that. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. And even if something bad happens, it'll happen to other people. Because the other people, you know, they don't exercise every day. Or, you know, they don't do the right rituals. Or they don't have the right family or something. But I'm different, you know, I'm going to be safe. And, of course, this doesn't work. Ajahn Tamani was speaking about this yesterday. It doesn't work. We get disappointed. You know, my body doesn't protect me. It gets sick, it gets hurt. It doesn't matter. Right? My mind doesn't protect me. No matter how much I study and how many degrees I have and how many YouTube videos I watch, I still don't know everything. I still make mistakes. Right? My friends don't protect me. They'll say, sorry, you can't come now. You know, sorry, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You can't come now. Too bad. Right? My family doesn't always protect me. You know, people are, they're married for 40 years and then the spouse says, sorry, I don't love you anymore. Right? Or the children say, you know, I have my own life. You know, if you want to visit for 3 days, that's okay. But, you know, I have my own life. Take care of yourself. Right? And our rituals, you know, you can wash your hands 1,000 times and you can get sick from somebody sneezing on you in a bus. Right? Or our religious rituals or whatever. And our objects, our houses, our phones, you know, just one electrical outage or a hurricane or whatever. And everything's finished. And ultimately, the bad news is that the death rate is still 100%. We're all going to die, and everything that we've invested in, all these protectors, they're all like plastic soldiers. It's all finished. Like when Revati's father went to Lord Brahma asking for a husband for his daughter, and after a 20-minute musical performance, Lord Brahma just laughed. And he said, everyone you were thinking to marry your daughter has died. And not only them, but their sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. He said, nobody even knows their name anymore. You know, all these things we think will protect us, Lord Brahma takes a nap and they're all finished. So the devotees depend only on Krishna. It's not that that they don't wash their hands, and it's not that they don't look both ways when they cross the street or wear a seatbelt, but psychologically, emotionally, the dependence is only on Krishna. The dependence is not on a government. The dependence is not on, you know, a spouse or on a house or on a phone or on how much, you know, they know about whatever, but the dependence is on Krishna. That only Krishna is going to protect me. And this mood of dependence on Krishna is not, I'm dependent on Krishna and he has to do whatever I say. He has to protect me in the way that I want. Because our dependence on material things is usually like that. You know, we depend on our body and when it fails us, we get angry. We depend on the government and when it fails us, we get angry. Overthrow the government, elect somebody else, as if somebody new is going to be able to protect us, you know. And when our spouse disappoints us, let me find another one. You know, so we have this idea that all of these agents of protection have to protect us in the way that we want, when we want, how we want. And if they don't, we become angry, we become disappointed, and so forth. But the mood of the devotee on Krishna is, Krishna, you can do whatever you like. And the comparison is to be like an animal, which is why Bhaktivinoda sings this song as one of Krishna's cows. And Rupa Goswami gives this example also, that, you know, an animal doesn't worry about its own maintenance. It's the master's business. That's the master's business, to take care of the animal. And you can see this mentality a little bit, like with young children. So there was this very clever Christian writer, Brett Hansen, and he wrote a wonderful book about humility. And in his book, he talks about how he was taking his wife and children out for a drive. And on the way, he stopped at a store. His wife picked up some things from the store. And then he was speeding, and the policeman pulled him over and gave a ticket. And then they stopped at a gas station and got some gas. They stopped at all different places, and After a half an hour, his 3-4-year-old child says to him, "Daddy, where are we going?" And he said, "Oh, we're going to see some horses." And she said, "Oh, horses, okay." And then she was happy. And he said to a very young child, "You know, you just get picked up by your parents and strapped into a seat, and you're in this vehicle that's moving, and you stop this place, and mommy gets out, and everybody's waiting, and then mommy gets back in, and then somebody with flashing lights pulls you over, and, you know, then all these, you don't really understand what's going on," but still it took her a half an hour to ask where she was going. And he said, "My daughter didn't know where we were going and what was happening and why we were stopping, but she knew one thing, and she knew who was driving." So the devotee's in that mood that they know who's driving. They don't always understand what's happening. Why is this happening? What is this happening? Like, in the cows, they're just, Krishna's playing the flute. "Okay, you're thirsty. Let's go to the Yamuna." "Okay, we're going to the Yamuna." And they die. They actually die. Or we think of the residents of Vrindavan, where Krishna tells them, worship Govardhan instead of Indra. So the past couple of days, I was listening to a class Prabhupada gave on Govardhan Puja, where he was telling the story. He doesn't get very far in the class. He mostly talks about Krishna giving instructions to Nanda Maharaj. But you know, you think that the devotees follow Krishna's instructions, and the result is a flood. You know, this massive flood. And the devotees are not, they don't lose their faith in Krishna as the protector. They don't say, "Well, I don't know, I'm not going to follow you anymore. You know, I go to the Yamuna and I die. I worship Govardhan, you know, and my house gets flooded and my whole village gets flooded." But they say, "Krishna, I have confidence that you're going to protect me. And that I have confidence in how you're going to protect me and what protection means to you. Not what protection means to me." So again, we see this in very young children. And again, we see it in animals, you know, pet animals that trust their master. Wherever their master takes them, they trust that. Just, okay, you know, that's the master's business to figure out how and when and in what way I'm protected. I mean, externally, so here we have a pastime where the cowherd boys and the cows externally are protected by Krishna, but not initially. I mean, you'd think, why does Krishna call them to the Yamuna in the first place? Why do they go there in the first place? Why doesn't Krishna say, "Well, don't go there, Kali is there"? In fact, Krishna had been warned by his mother not to go to that part of the Yamuna, and it was only because Balaram wasn't there, Acharyas explained, that Krishna went there. "Oh, Balaram's not here today, you know, I get to go to that lake." But, you know, why didn't Krishna prevent the whole problem? Who can say? Or with the Govardhan Leela, you know, Krishna could have prevented Indra from flooding Vrindavan. He could have just paralyzed Indra's, you know, Vajra-throwing arm. Chaivana Muni did it, you know, and Krishna here is the Yogeshwar Ishwara. He's the controller of the controllers of those with yogic powers. But the devotees are like, "Okay, Krishna, if you lead us into danger, we figure that you have some purpose in that. We're happy to be your servants." But still, Krishna did save them. Can you think of some other instances where Krishna saved his devotees on an external level?
Gajendra,
yes. But it took him some time. He was fighting for 1,000 years. But yes, Gajendra. Some other instance of where Krishna externally saved his devotees.
Agasura,
yes. That's a really funny pastime. Because in that one, the cowherd boys lead Krishna into danger instead of Krishna leading the devotees into danger. Yes, did you have another?
I was just thinking when he appears, of course, in the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva, how long it took before he saved Prahlada Maharaj.
So Nrisimhadeva, who saved Prahlada, but it took a long time. Of course, he also was saving him along the way from all of the Maha abuser, Hiranyakashipu's schemes. Some other examples of where Krishna externally saves his devotees.
Draupadi. Arjuna on the battlefield.
Arjuna over and over and over again.
I just say Ajamil wasn't direct, but...
Ajamil, yes, definitely. Not yet. He didn't directly come. He sent his Vishnu Judas, but yeah.
Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada, yes. Cricket in the womb?
Yeah.
Right. Can you think of some examples where Krishna does not externally save his devotees?
Well, Cricket when the snake bird came.
Cricket with the snake bird. So Krishna saves him from the Brahmastra, but not from the snake bird. Okay? Mm-hmm. Some other examples.
Even like with Pandu?
With Pandu, okay.
Well, you could have an example of Jatayu.
Jatayu, that's always one of my heartbreaking examples. I think I get particularly affected by the story of Jatayu because I saw that drama with Srila Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada came to New York in 1976, the players were doing their Ramayana. They didn't do the whole thing. The whole drama took 4 hours, so they very rarely did the whole thing. They usually started with the exile. And I was sitting maybe two rows behind Srila Prabhupada, and Lohitaksha was playing Ram, and his wife Rasa Gya was playing Sita. Prabhupada said she was the best actress in the world. So, and Loka Mangala was playing Ravana. I don't remember who was playing Jatayu. It was probably Devadeva. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Ravana's stealing Sita, and Jatayu comes, and before he attacks Ravana, Sita said, "No, Jatayu, don't. You are too old, and Ravana's stronger than you." And I don't know, that line, I just... Sitting in right next to Srila Prabhupada, I wasn't in the theater anymore, and I wasn't in New York anymore. I was poof in the Dandaka Forest, and there was Ravana and Sita and Jatayu. It was just an incredible, incredible experience. And the battle on the stage between Ravana and Jatayu, and Jatayu's killed. I mean, he doesn't die immediately. He gets to tell Ram and Lakshman, you know, your wife's been stolen by Ravana and gone to the south. He was killed. He died. So there are instances, you know, I've seen many more instances where Krishna saved, like with Haridas Thakur, where Lord Chaitanya took all the whips on his own. So many examples we could think of where Krishna saves his devotees externally, and then there's examples where he doesn't. You know, where he lets the devotee be cursed, or Maharaj Ambarish is an example where he saved his devotee. But there's other times when he lets the devotee be cursed. Lets the devotee die, lets the devotee succumb to some disease or whatever. And the devotee feels, though, protected in all these situations. The devotee doesn't feel, well, when Krishna kills my enemy or when Krishna pulls me out of that situation, then he's protected me. And when he has my enemy kill me or curse me or whatever, then I'm not protected. I mean, we can think of, say, Yudhisthira in the gambling match. Yudhisthira's, this is an interesting story, Yudhisthira's Dharmaraj. What is Dharmaraj doing staking his brothers and his wife? Why doesn't he quit? You know, okay, I understand, at least theoretically, I have no practical experience, but I understand theoretically the gambling tends to induce people to go on and on and on and on and on in the hopes that they're going to win back what they've lost. At the same time, you know, after you gambled away all of your possessions, why would you consider your family members gambleable? You know, it's like, you just quit. I gambled away all my possessions. I have nothing more to stake. Okay, I don't have a kingdom. I mean, they didn't have a kingdom before. After the House of Lakh, when they were living incognito as brahmanas, they didn't have any kingdom. And they lived. So why didn't Krishna protect these intelligence? it's a question that I've had. Why someone who's a pure devotee, who's in touch with the Supreme Lord, and who's the personality of Dharma, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? And in fact, I'm not the only one who has this question. His brothers and his wife had this question for a long time. I mean, it's interesting that they didn't leave him. You know, Draupadi didn't say, well, I'm getting a divorce. And the brothers didn't say, well, we're not going to listen to you anymore now that you've staked this in the gambling match. But they questioned him. They said, you know, what are you doing? Why did you do this? So sometimes Krishna apparently doesn't protect his devotees. Actually, Srila Prabhupada talks about himself in relationship to Mr. Nair. So Mr. Nair in Mumbai, at that time it was Bombay, he sold them a property very cheaply, but he had this thing going on where he was selling the property to multiple people at a low price, and then he had some kind of legal conniving so he could get out of the sale. So instead of making a lot of money selling the property once legitimately, he was making much, 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 much more money by selling it illegitimately at a low price over and over again. Of course, the devotees eventually prevailed and got the property, but it was a long, long battle over many years. And Giriraj Maharaj has written a book about this. But Prabhupada said, Krishna didn't tell me that Mr. Nair was a cheater because he wanted me to get that property. So sometimes Krishna doesn't give information to the devotees, and it seems, at least in the beginning externally, that Srila Prabhupada was not protected from being cheated. But the devotee is willing to have Krishna use him or her the way that he wants. Krishna, I trust that you're giving me protection in the ultimate sense. And what is the ultimate protection? When Krishna tells Arjuna, declare it boldly that my devotee is never vanquished, what does he mean? He doesn't mean the devotee is never killed. Abhimanyu was killed by all the Maharatis in an unfair fight. Jatayu was killed. It's not that the devotee is never vanquished in that way. Yudhisthira was defeated in gambling. The devotee may be vanquished in that way, indeed, and the devotee is willing. Use me, Lord, if you want to use me. The devotee is willing to be used, like Yudhisthira was used as a bad example, or Bhishma, by fighting on the side of the Kurus, and he was killed. And that example is given, even if you're Bhishma, if you're on the side of the Kurus, it's not going to work out. But the protection the devotee has is that his relationship with the Lord and his love of the Lord and his transcendent life never diminishes. You know, immaterially, if my husband doesn't take care of me, then my love for my husband diminishes. If my government doesn't take care of me, my love for my government diminishes, right? If my phone gives me wrong directions, then I get a new phone. It becomes broken. My relationship, isn't that a fact? Right? We see this in our ISKCON society. We see it all the time. That people think the ISKCON society is going to be God. Sorry, it's not. And they think, you know, the leaders of ISKCON, they're going to always take care of me exactly the way that I want. You know, I did this and this and this and this and this and this and this for ISKCON, and so I expect that and that and that and that and that. And when it doesn't happen, well, now I'm leaving ISKCON, I hate ISKCON, I'm going to go on the internet and say bad things about ISKCON for the next 20 years. You know, it becomes broken. But what's protected is our relationship with Krishna. That stays. We keep that. It doesn't go away. Bhaktivinoda doesn't say, you lead me to the Jamuna as your cow and I drink poison, so now I don't love you anymore. And the devotee's ecstatic feeling of protection never goes. The sense that I belong to Krishna, I am the property of Krishna, Swanatha, he's my master. He's always taking care of me. I don't understand why you're stopping here and my mommy's getting out of the car. I don't understand why these lights are swirling and my daddy's pulling over. I don't understand why this is happening, but I know my daddy's driving. And that never goes away. And so, therefore, the devotee is always joyful in Krishna's protection. Yes?
In the last instance, is that Krishna's love is active, right?
Yes.
And so he's giving us a thousand opportunities, endless opportunities, through history, through the plumline, and through the text of experiences, that we need to increase our faith.
Yes.
Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about equates faith from the very beginning, for the Shikshastakam, to the very end, as tied totally to prem. So the more the circumstances are in such a way that we accept and realize that this is all a ploy, so to speak, for us to increase our faith and increase our affection for the Supreme Lord, then it's perfect.
Yes.
What's the problem?
Yes, you're referring to Bhajana Rahasya? He was talking about going. And then you have the end of the Shikshastika where the devotee says, I love you, whatever. Yes, very, very nicely said. Apurva? You have something you want to add?
No.
Krista?
I can't remember, it was a Christian theologian who made the point that faith means it's uncertainty. If you have to have certainty to have faith, that's not faith.
Beautifully said, yes.
In other words, it's the fact that there is uncertainty and I'm still willing to have full love for that person,
yes,
that's faith. Yes. But if I have to have all the things lined up to guarantee, it's faithless.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice. Also, if I'm telling Krishna how to protect me, then who's the boss?
That's a contract, isn't it?
It's a contract, and then I become the boss.
Yeah.
You have to take care of me like this, like this, like this. Yeah.
So the point of faith is so absolute that we never question anything. We simply accept.
Right into Agasura's mouth. Well, that's a little different pastime, because with the Agasura's mouth, the cowherd boys were thinking, if we go into Agasura's mouth, Krishna will get a chance to play the hero, and he likes that.
Yeah.
That was a case where the Acharya said Krishna didn't want the boys to go into Agasura's mouth, and they did. Whereas here, in the Kaliya pastime, Krishna calls the boys and the cows to drink the water of the Yamuna. He actually calls them there. Come, let's go drink the water of the Yamuna. So it's kind of extraordinary.
But isn't Krishna like Mugda here? He doesn't really know either in a way?
So does Krishna not really know either in a way? Yeah, because otherwise there's no fun.
Yeah.
What do they call when you tell people how the story ends as a spoiler?
Yeah.
It ruins it, right? So yeah, Krishna is also moving along with the story like that.
And ultimately, it's always for his glorification anyway. Everything that happens is to glorify
Krishna. But also Krishna likes to glorify the devotees.
Yeah, of course.
So that's also going on here. everything that's happening glorifies Krishna and glorifies the devotees.
Yes.
Surrender to Krishna ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki. Jai.